Chapter 9, John. Again, we'll go back there and talk about the man that was blind from his birth and what happened. And quite a lot of this in John 9 is information, and there's some that gives the appendices, but there's quite a lot there, so sometimes it's maybe best when we're doing these questions and answer things, it may be a little confusing sometimes to keep going back and forth to look at some of this stuff, but I'll give you the numbers, and if you want to write them down or if you want to look them up, certainly it'd be good to do that. But I think it's with all these questions that these Pharisees had for the Lord, it kind of kills the story a little bit when you go back and get really trying to get involved in that in a heavy way. And but it's kind of self-explaining too. And I certainly don't know who wrote the notes in the companion. Well, I do know who wrote the notes in the companion side, but I don't know who did it to begin with and why it was that much information. But it really is good to have it. Wonderful. And it answers a lot of questions, but some of it may not. And that's the reason that I said, well, you know, we might get the gist out of it a little more without it, but there is a lot of therefores here and in these passages. And so the therefores, I looked at it a long time ago and I said, well, that's kind of like you're going across a railroad track somewhere, riding in a wagon or with a horse and a mule or even in a car. You got the crossbars and the thing just off of the railroad track there that makes you think to stop, look, and listen. Because, you know, there may be more than one track there, and quite often that kind of complicates matters a little bit. And the railroad tracks are never really straight where a lot of these things are. And so, and they build buildings and they build warehouses and things close to the railroad tracks. And therefore you can't see a great distance at a time. So it's, you know, you need to stop, look, and listen. And that's what basically a therefore is, or because of this, or, you know, to look into this, you need that space to where we can pause for just a second and think about it for just a minute or a little bit. And it's always good to do that. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have it. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to read 17, but we stopped at verse 19. So we're going to pick up verse 20 when our study to that, but I want to go back to 17. And, this is where, the Pharisees are talking to the blind man here. And to his parents at times. And I'll make a note of that if I have it here in my notes. And it's a dissertation back and forth. And the reason of this is kind of self-explanatory. Because think about this. In the 4,000 years from Adam. So we're here in the book of John with John and his dissertation of Christ's 3 years with him, and because he couldn't start till he was 30 years old, and he was 33 going on, maybe going on to 34, close to 34 right here. And there never had been in writ, in Holy Writ, anybody that had healed a blind baby from its infancy before they grew up blind without sight, that had never seen anything. And there has been a question in the book of John from the very beginning. If you have never really read or heard or looked through it, there had never been a lot of this stuff was brand new to these Pharisees, these people that some believed and some didn't believe, or they never had got the miracles that should have been appropriately given to them or did before them. And but one of the things was they had no one ever opened the eyes of a blind person. And I thought that to be a little unusual, but we always ask the question from the time we got into Luke and into John, both, what is more important? Is it to see or to hear? And if you've never asked yourself that question, maybe you ought to give it just a minute, therefore. See the reason why, therefore, it's there. Because there was a lot of blind folks, just as well as they were halt and lame people and had other problems. And evidently, this pool of Siloam was a place kind of like a hospital. I don't know that we could call it an emergency room or a place of emergency, but it was where these people went and gathered together. And when the waters moved in the pool, because it was not on a time schedule like Yellowstone is out in the Midwest, where it comes at a certain time. You can go drive up there, and if you're going to drive up there and stay to see the Yellowstone go off, the park go off, they give you a piece of paper to tell you when it's going to go off.
Yeah.
They got all that figured out.
Pretty predictable.
But see, this was not really predictable. This spring that these people were getting this water from evidently didn't have all that kind of a place to build up the pressure to make it come out at any particular time of day. And they might have been a lot of different situations there that they couldn't. But this one was intermittent. It was not regularly done. So these people had to be there and wait if they were going to go into the pool to have a chance to be healed. And I don't know how that got started either. I can't tell you that. But I know they did that, and they believed that.
Yeah. They certainly believed it.
And evidently some of them, and it worked for some of them, but they might have been a believer in God. That might have been the deal with it. If they believed in God, he went in there. He may have, could have took care of that along with everything else. So go with me back to verse 17. In John 9, they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou? of him that he hath opened the eyes. He had opened thine eyes. This was, they were talking back to the blind man itself, because the parents had said, oh, he's of age. You can ask him.
Go ask him. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And he said, and so, and the blind man said, oh, he's a prophet. So he had come to the conclusion within himself that what he did for him made him a prophet, made him one that could, that had powers. We'll just put it that way. He said, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? See, these questions are questions that I'm not sure that the blind man wasn't there by himself. Because I think they'd bring him down there and they would leave him for a while and maybe go back home. I don't know how close their dwelling was to this pool of Siloam. We don't know that. But the fact is that they may have not have been there when he did that for that blind man. Because Jesus and the blind man had the dissertation between themselves that you're blind, right? Yeah, born at birth. Well, that's all Jesus needed to know. He was going to do something that never had been done before mankind. So we get down to verse 20, and this is where our study begins tonight. And our study says this in 20, his parents answered them and said to the Pharisees, he says, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, full stop. Wasn't no question about it. They knew it. And they knew it from day one. They knew it from the time the kid come from the birth canal, evidently that there was something wrong with his eyes. And the Pharisees, they had their little thought about this. Well, he might have been faking it.
Yeah. Well, are you sure he was blind?
Why would a person think that, you know, and
for 38 years, that's the,
yeah, for 30 something years.
Biggest joke there.
So, some of these questions that they're asking people that was involved, but really didn't have the answers that they were looking for, because they were looking for something to where they could charge Jesus with a situation. Just like they did with him when he went there and the man was there 38 years and could get in the poop. And, of course, he had sight all this time, but he couldn't get in the pool because other people were faster than him because they didn't have the same kind of afflictions that he had in order to get in the pool. So this is a little different situation here, which gives me the idea that, well, this kind of is like a, almost like a, you know, place where you know, if you're not able to do anything, you go to the hospital and that's where you go. You go to the emergency room. You don't get to go and look for your bed, you know?
Yeah.
So this was the same situation. So his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, but he was born blind. as they knew that for sure. So, there wasn't any question with the parents as to what they were asking. But then let's go to verse 21. Verse 21 says, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, because they didn't understand what had happened with the spittle and the clay and all that, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. And that's another full stop. Because they couldn't give them a definite answer as to how it was done and why it was done. But, this is all like, he said, he is of age. Ask him.
Ask him.
He can speak for himself. Ask him. He's over 30 years old. But we do know that he was born by him. That we do know. We'll confirm that. Okay. So it says, but or by what means he seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. And so that's the way the notes were left, for this dissertation here with the parents and with the Pharisees. And it said, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Full stop. Well, what was going on here about between them and the Jews? What's so unusual about this that they have to make a big deal out of it? And so they were afraid of what the Pharisees thought, because the Pharisees didn't believe in a lot of this stuff. They certainly didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But there was so much there that they couldn't come to grips with. They were just like, they were.
You had a bunch of mortals trying to figure out something that was a supernatural.
Yeah, something that had never been done.
Yeah, that they had no knowledge.
What for? Okay, but we get the answer to that also. Now, what means now, he now seeth, we know not, or who had opened his eyes, or know not, he is of age. And these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already. What did they agree to between themselves already? This is it. That if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They were going to church him. So now that his son could see, he could hear already. They evidently wasn't no problem with his hearing. But if he could now see, he had a lot of things that he had to make up his mind on also. Because he didn't have all the answers that himself, if they were going to ask him, and they were afraid that he might not be able to come back to the synagogue, that they would piss on him that way, in that situation.
That was the power that they had over people.
Yeah, that was their, they thought they had, what they said was the answer to all things that that God was dealing with, but that wasn't necessarily so. So in verse 22, the note says, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews that had agreed already or make it known between themselves that if any man did confess or should confess that he, this man called Jesus, was Christ the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue." And in the Greek word there is aposynagogos, or means to be excommunicated, that he would be
kicked out,
be without. Okay, so in verse 23. So you got another therefore here. So, said his parents, he is of age again. He's of age asking. They didn't want to get themselves involved with it either, because they didn't know the answer to these questions themselves.
Yeah.
And so because of this, says his parents, again, he is of age asking. Here he is. You're right here before him. You heard what he said so far. Go ahead and ask him again. That's not very hard to come up with or to understand. But here's your Pharisees again. These people supposedly thought they knew everything about God and all the things that he could do and all this. But here they were. Unbelievable. Then again, call them the man, because we never got the man's name. It was not in scripture. As far as I know, it was never said in writ. That was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man," talking about Jesus, "is a sinner." We know he's a sinner. They have already come to agreement that if he had anything to do with it, that's it.
He heals people on the
Sabbath. Right.
He's got to be a sinner.
And he's got to be a sinner. He can't be a godly man if they do that. You know, that's their idea. So, how shallow is the mind of people that's standing there looking at this individual that's looking back at him and could not have seen just a little while before, maybe an hour or two ago.
No.
We don't know how long the time has passed there, but it's just a kind of an ongoing situation. And evidently, these Pharisees were pretty close to hand because they were looking for Jesus. He had been with them, and he eased out through the crowd and got away from them because they had picked up stones to stone him. My gracious. And he could just, you know, when it's not his time, these things just wasn't going to take place.
Well, right through the middle of them.
Yeah. So, and it's that's before, and they can't see that.
Yeah.
They can't see, and now they can't even hear because all this is being told to them, and they not believe it.
Well, I've heard that there's none so blind as those who won't see.
Yeah, got it.
That's the blindest people you'll ever run into.
Absolutely. Verse 25 says, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not," talking about Jesus, "I know not." And that's a full stop, because He didn't question the Lord where he could do it or not. The Lord just spit on the ground, made up some mud, maybe had a little water from the pool there, I don't know, but, and he rubbed it in his eye sockets. There his eyes were where he was blind. And he didn't ask him where he could do or not. He just went and did what Christ said. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus tells you to go and do something, need be, you better do it.
Yeah.
Because he and the Father are just like one. There's not no division between those two.
That's right.
Because one sits on the big throne and one sits on the one on the right side. Whenever it all gets said and done.
Amen.
But it's not that way. It wasn't that way right then, but it's going to be. Okay. Said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. If you cannot believe the testimony of somebody that has had a face-to-face meeting with the Son of God, and you can't believe that, you're the one that's blind. You're in bad shape.
Yeah.
So what you said just a little bit ago, Ronnie, pretty well, it just stands to reason that something here great has happened. And these people just can't believe it. And are not going to believe it because they've already agreed among themselves that this man's a sinner and what he's doing, he's not doing by the will of the God that they think they know.
Yeah, he don't fit their vision of what the Messiah was going to be.
Right.
At all.
He said, I was blind, now I see.
It's all I know.
Sounds like it'd make a pretty good song in church.
Once was blind.
Okay, verse 26. Then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? So they are wanting to know a little more about what went on. They've already made the statement that we've all come to a conclusion. But now here, all of a sudden when he says, I was blind, but now I see, well, wait a minute. So you see, this is the reason we have these examples here written down in Holy Writ. Because it creates some discussion among others. And the discussion might be very, very important to somebody that's standing there. Because they may have agreed with these guys beforehand, but now they say, well, wait a minute. This guy's coming right face to face with us and says, I was blind, but now I see. And they can't deny it. But they don't believe.
Yeah.
But they can't deny it.
Yeah, they can't deny what's happened.
Yeah.
Can't get their brain around how
they just can't do it. So he answered them, the man had been blind in 27, and he says this, I have told you already, and you did not hear. So he's saying as much as saying, well, I thought you could see, and now I'm kind of thinking you're not hearing either. So in that case, he's telling them, well, you may can see, but you can't see because you're blind, because you can't see it. And I'm telling you, and you can't hear it. So you're in bad shape. You're worse than I was.
Yeah.
Okay. I have told you already, and you did not hear. Full stop. Wherefore? Here's another kind of because of this. Would you hear it again? He said, I can tell you again. Would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. That's like striking a match on the man's seat of his pants that's been sitting on a gas can. They begin to feel the heat. And the blind man was putting the heat on. And that's about the best I could do this without letting me read my notes to see what I said. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you wish to hear it again? And also, will you be his disciples? Surely. You do not wish to become his disciple. And if you want to look up that, that is out 105 II, Roman numeral, II. Okay. Then, or at that point, they reviled him or railed at him and said, thou art his disciple. Well, they've made another decision. Said, but we're Moses' disciples. We can't go along with this guy. Well, I guess by that time, the blind man, or the one that had been blind, had already come to this understanding that they wasn't going to agree with him about the man that did it. So he knew Moses didn't do it because Moses wasn't there anymore. Moses couldn't have done it. So, their answer to that was, we know that God spoke to Moses, full stop. Well, probably some of them had heard Moses, yes. I would agree that probably they did, no doubt. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Or are they going to make up their mind because they didn't know where he come from? Sounds like that's part of their fallacy here. That, well, since we don't know where he's from, we just can't agree with it. So, yeah. Well, did they know where Moses come from?
You weren't saying they'd be hypocritical, are you?
Well, that's another question. That would have been another question I would have asked him, and I'm thinking maybe the blind man thought the same thing. I'm not saying he did or didn't, but I'm just saying, well, that would have been my next answer to that. Well, I don't know where you guys knew Moses that well.
Yeah, the power.
But they may have had him. On that 40-year journey that they was in the wilderness there, they may have had him, or they may have grown up with that in their psyche or their mind. And it's, and I put in my note, then they reviled him or railed at him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses. Not only, rebuffed, but abused him by speaking to him with contempt. So the notes in the companion Bible said, oh, they probably spoke to him with contempt in their mind and their mouth. Their mouth.
Oh, they were way up here and he was way up.
Yeah, like, you don't know.
Well, what, they've already said he's a sinner. We,
you don't know.
We're not sinners. He's a sinner.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So we're just not going to accept that. Verse 29. He said, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered. Man had answers. And evidently, Jesus come to understand that they were doing this to this man. Now, he knew, I think you and I know how we could have come to this understanding, and these people that wrote these notes could have come to this understanding, but here it is that, you know, he is gonna have to have a little help here. Verse 30. The man answered and said and told him, why herein is a wonderful, marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath come and opened mine eyes.
How is it you don't know about him?
Yes, right. How is it if a man can do this? That you, and you say you believe God, but you don't believe this.
Yeah. He has some pretty good questions for him.
Yeah. Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. How many times did he have to say to these people that supposedly knew about everything that God could do, but at least they thought they could. And it says in verse 31, now we know that God heareth, not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. So he says, I know that much. I know that. That, in 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if perhaps any man, a pious man, or a God-fearing man, the Greek word there is theosibes, be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, and his will there is the Greek word, thema, App 102-2, he will hear. He will hear us. And in verse 32, it says, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind.
Yep, quite a feat.
So here was, he said, well, I guess I'm the first. No one before has heard that this has ever been done. Why can't you hear it, you dumb people?
Hey,
yeah.
Okay. 33. If any man were not of God, he could do nothing. Well, this blind man's already got a pretty good testimony, hasn't he? He said, well, if God has the power to do these things, then he's been asked to do it, and he heareth it, and he does it.
The blind man sees better than the people that see.
Yeah. Well,
and understands.
He had some understanding there. In verse 34 says, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and doest thou teach us? Said, are you standing there telling us all this stuff? And you're trying to teach us about God? Well, they threw him out of their group. And they went to get some more stones. So evidently, the answer to all their questions is, well, just stone him. You know, it's like, we don't want to take you before the Bema seat, but we'll just take you out here and stone you. Well, that was not the way that the Father and the Son agreed that this was going to go. It wasn't a stoning. They stoned Paul. But it said, and I don't know if Paul got some bones broken or not, but his face was this pretty well this distorted. And his eyesight wasn't good. Now, he wasn't born blind, but when they stoned him that time in Derby, he got hurt bad. He got killed. And he come back. But it said, with Jesus, there wouldn't be a bone broken. Didn't say he wouldn't lose blood. But they said there wouldn't be a bone broken of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They took his purple clothing off of him and all this stuff, nailed him to a cross, evidently. And, but stoning wasn't in the picture here, hadn't been in the picture here. But evidently they didn't see and understand and know that, because two or three times now, they've already picked up stones to stone him. They just gonna go ahead and kill him. They just don't want nothing else to do with him. That's the reason Jesus told them more than one time. Are you here to kill me? Is this what you're here to do? And it said, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Well, he wasn't that far away. Or he was close enough that he could come to his rescue. And this is another attribute of God, even through his Son, that he can send his Son to do his will wherever it's at.
Yeah.
And time and space is not a big deal with God.
And even how he heard it. He may have heard it even as they said it.
Well, he may have heard it, yes.
I don't think he had to get it hearsay from other people.
Yeah, okay. So, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, because he wasn't with him personally at the time, and when they had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So Jesus said, okay, do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe? And so he is going to manifest this, even though the man has already spoken in so many words in his dissertation to these Pharisees. Now Jesus is there. And he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Well, have you ever been asked that question? You certainly should have been somewhere, some way, sometime during your life, either in a church or by grandpa or grandma or somebody somewhere that did believe in the Son of God, where you could really confess that yes, and when this was said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered, the blind man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Well,
he had never seen Jesus till this point.
No, but when all this was being done, he called him a prophet because he didn't know anything else to say.
Yeah.
And he thought he was a prophet.
He just knew somebody stopped by and healed him.
Well, he was hearing what was going on. He couldn't see, but he could hear.
Yeah.
Here's the difference in these people. Okay. I'm running out of time, so let me get on. Hast thou both seen and is he that talketh with thee? With thee. And he said, Lord, looking now with these good eyes, looking now upon his face, I'm sure, he said, I believe. And he worshiped him. Well, at that point, his sins were taken care of him, had been taken care of then because he was standing before salvation.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ is salvation, although he hasn't been to the cross yet. Although he hadn't forgiven everybody their sins yet, but he was still salvation. He came here as a man with blood, and he gave his blood for salvation.
Amen.
Okay. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am coming to this world, and they which see not, that they which see not might see. Man, is that a big word to say to these folks. When you're standing here in the presence of a miracle and hear the words of this, whether you understand how it was done and why it was done, he says, I'm going to tell you this right now. They that which see might not see, and they that see not, or they that see might be made blind.
That summarizes everything we've been talking about.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. He came to give the blind the sight that they might see, and that the ones that could not see may not ever see.
Or they thought they saw.
Yeah.
The ones that thought they saw, they're the blind people.
Right. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? They're still asking questions even after the Son of God said that.
Didn't even know he was talking about them.
And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should not have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth.
Wow.
So, this pretty much summarized and filled up everything that had been done and said in that whole dissertation here from the time that Jesus saw the blind man until he confessed that he believed God, and he had said to these people, "Once I was blind, but therefore I now see." They could not see, and Jesus told them, "Well, you're still in that situation because you cannot see. You sin still remaineth." But the other man could now see and hear. They seen and heard, but they could not believe. So that's the difference between the two groups. And that's summing it all up kindly in a nutshell. Kind of like opening a peanut up, you know, you kind of know it's there, but when you open it up and you see it, and then you gotta say, "Well, this is it," you know. So here we are. But when I kept going in the book of Luke and then the book of John, I said, the further I went, it was just like, 1 Corinthians that Ronnie's been in for a while. And there's just so much there. Can you stop?
Yeah, there ain't no off ramp. No,
there just ain't no off ramp here. You know, if you're going to stop, you kind of got to make a U-turn somewhere. So.
Somewhere else.
We're not going to stop, not if the Lord allows me to. I'm going to go on and we're going to go a little bit deeper in this, because sooner or later they're going to get to the point to where that they're going to take him to the cross, and they're going to do what the Father and the Son promised it would happen. Somewhere, sometime in the future. And it happened just the way that they meant for it to happen. They put him on the cross. So he went back to the very same place that Caesar had made to judge people for their crimes and misdeeds that they done. And it wasn't only him that could sit in the judgment seat, but others could sit in the judgment seat also. And so when you get on over there in John, and when he gets before Pilate, Pilate's having some of these same questions, and Pilate's wife looks at him and says, "You better keep out of this. You don't need to be involved." And this, and Pilate didn't take that information either, because sometimes a foolish man won't believe his wife. And that happens a lot, even today. Because I didn't believe that for a long time. So I could say that by, not only by permission, but by fact, that it took me between 19 and 33 years, between the time I was 19 till I was 33, to come to understand where I'm at today. So God bless my wife's prayers to God for me and my children. And it's still going on, and it's still working.
Amen.
So, yeah, we can be blind for a while. Need to come to a point somewhere and sometimes when we get the opportunity to say, "God, I believe you. I know you can, and I know you will. If I say I believe you and I'm going to do whatever it is you want me to do in my life for you." Because that's the reason I'm here. And that is my prayer. That's the reason I'm here. God bless you all.